104.1 KRBE Houston, a Cumulus station.
1, 2, 3.
What's up, y'all? What's going on?
Welcome to Around H-Town.
The Council on Recovery has been around for 70 years, helping families with an array of problems, and here to talk about it, please welcome to the show, Lori Feaster from the Center for Recovering Families. Welcome.
Thank you.
Quite a few programs are offered at the Council, so let's begin first with addiction.
That's our primary. So when we think about, we were the Council on Alcohol and Drug Abuse for many years. And in the past several years, because of the issues that we see day in and day out and have for so many years, we shifted to the Council on Recovery. So that helps everyone that has any kind of issue with substance or mental health problems come to see us. Because we want to also help reduce stigma.
Right.
With both illnesses.
And speaking of stigma, what's the one thing that, because I think it, in terms of addiction, I think there are two kinds of people. Those who think, oh, well, they can help it, just get over it already. And then there's the other, kind of more compassionate side. They're like, well, wait, hold on, let's back up for a second. This is a disease. It's a sickness.
This is a brain disease, actually. And now, you know, in just the past 10 years, we now have scientific proof that this isn't just about pulling your bootstraps up. You know, back in the Depression days, back in the days of my mom and my dad, it was just stop it. And they thought that was really a moral issue. Well, now we know it's not the truth. It's if no one wakes up to say, you know what, I want to be a drug addict today, because it's not a life that's glamorous. It's not a life that's easy. And part of why we're here is to help people get where they need to go, whether it's with us in services or other facilities around the state and nation.
You talk about back in the day that it was all about pulling up your bootstraps. At what point do you think was the pivotal moment when we as a society were like, well, you know what, hold on, let's really see what's causing this?
Well, it's even been in my time. So as one of those baby boomers, in the past 20 years, we began seeing the evidence that it was just not about a moral or a weakness problem or a willpower issue. We started seeing that this manifested just like any other chronic disease. And as we became more sophisticated with medicine and technology, we began to find the ways and find the pathways that are really affected by substance and behaviors too. So we may not have necessarily the scientific proof that eating per se, like an eating disorder, is a complete addiction, but there are so many things that are very similar.
And now that you're talking about food addictions, this is something that help people with more than just drug and alcohol abuse and addiction. So why don't we go into some of the other facets
Sure.
that you cover?
We look at process addictions, and process addictions are those behavioral types of addictions like eating, sex addiction, gambling, codependency. These are the isms that we get in trouble with, that we have a hard time controlling.
Do you find that since you started at the Council that these other types of addictions, be it sex or food addiction, is that these are on the rise?
Well, you know, I think more people are talking about them. I don't know if they're on the rise. I think we just now have more information. I certainly see people coming and able to talk about sex addiction more than they were 20 years ago when I first got in the field. That wasn't talked about, and that almost looked criminalized back then. Now we can see that there is a huge pattern. There's been fabulous research done on it. And eating disorders, didn't really come out till several deaths of people that were in the news, like Karen Carpenter. We didn't know what that was.
Growing up, seeing something on TV like My 600-Pound Life on a cable channel was something I would have never thought that I would see as a grown-up. So it comes with, more conversation?
More conversation, more education, more, when we think about the stigma, most of the time that's what keeps us stuck. Because we don't have words for it, because we don't have information, we make up that it's about us and our failing. For instance, that 600-pound life, if no one understands about that person, they can look at that and really make some vast judgments when I'm going to tell you no one wants to be in that person's body.
Whereas drug and alcohol abuse back in the 30s or back when the Council first started was seen as, hey, tough it out, get over it, just stop. Do you see that these newer addictions that have come to pass in society, like sex addiction and food addiction, that these are kind of at that moment?
No, I think we are at a better place than we were back in the day.
Okay.
We have more, we actually have wonderful opportunities like this to educate people and to see that it's just not me. When you think about the numbers, 1 in 6 are affected with substance use disorders. You know, so me and you are here, and I'm guessing if we look down 4 down the hallway, there would be somebody that has had issues. So some of the reasons why the council is here, because we can help, and we know people that need help, and to get our message out there so that we can get those people the services they need.
Let's talk first about the, because there are two of them here, two main ones, the adult clinical services, then the family recovery services.
We do lots of different business. At the council, we are a nonprofit, and in that nonprofit state, we do business with government in the sense of trying to get folks that have no funds to treatment services. So we are the front door for those folks. We're also in schools doing intervention and prevention work with kids and adolescents. We're in high schools doing the Choices Prevention Program. And all those are funded to a certain extent by state and federal grants. On my side of the camp, there are we do fee-for-services and insurance-based treatment for substance use and mental health issues. But we don't turn anybody away. So if they can't come and see me, we've got someone else to send them to that can get help for them. And we also serve not just the adult population. We serve kids. We have a wonderful program that if you know, your child has been affected because their parents have an issue with substance, they can go to kids camp. Or we have clinical services just for kids. We even have services for the elderly called the Welderly Program, where there's case management and therapy available for those older adults that are suffering from substance use, which is one of the higher populations now. As us baby boomers are getting older, you know, docs are prescribing more drugs that are a little bit more dangerous for us, like opiates. And we're seeing more of an increase of older adults getting addicted to those drugs.
What is the best way that we can help people that are overcoming substance abuse?
Well, when you absolutely make a referral to us, but the one thing that we can do is listen and find ways of hearing their suffering and being with them and then telling them there's places to go. We can't expect them to know what to do. We can say, yeah, I care about you, but we need a solution. We need to help them get where they need to go.
Talking to Lori Feaster from the Council on Recovery, thank you so much for your insights on addictions of all kinds and for coming by Around H-Town.
Thank you very much.
Stand by for more of Around H-Town next.
104.1 KRBE.